All of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
This is Microphone Check, Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
I'm Joel Ortiz.
Ortiz, what up?
What's up? How y'all feeling, man?
Feeling great that you're in the house.
Thanks for having me, guys and gals.
I do appreciate that.
I just want to go back to what you were just talking about a moment ago, because okay. I think it's actually important. We were talking about the Beatles and listening to the Beatles and just, you know, like admiring their journey from not just being musicians but just being great business people. And you were saying you were wondering if they had a uncle or somebody just really like give them the business on how to move through life and make things simplified. So you were saying,
I was just saying, like, I frequent the hood, and I just wondered how my journey would have changed if I had someone that was just like, yo, these are the things you need to pay attention to right now, like good credit or, you know, saving money and just little things. Like I was telling you about, like, you know, I remember the first time Sprint let me get a phone line. I was like, yes, I got my own line. And then I ran it up to like $500 and I was just like, all right, cool. My Sprint is off, but I'll just go over to AT&T. And like, it's just that mindset, like no one was there to just.
To tell you won't be able to get a house
because
when you're ready to go get your crib, because you straighten everything out, you got money to put down on the crib or pay for a crib. And it's like, what, that Sprint bill?
That Sprint bill? What do you mean? That store isn't even open. The one, like, I'll give him his money, and it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't really know. Like, I just wonder if, you know, it's because there's so much talent in the hood, and they're just not in the know. Mm. They're just not in the know. They just find out. They
the
just find
way.
Out when it's already damage done. You know what I'm saying? So just for, you know, for the Beatles to be so business savvy and already, you know, somebody had to give them a little hunch, a little, yo, maybe you guys should try to own your masters. Like, that's just, like, even when I first got into music, I didn't even know what that meant. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just coming off the block and it's just like, all right, rap to the beat, like, and try to, like, develop and, you know, and this is an ad lib. And, like, it was just all art stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wonder if somebody was like, besides art, let's go into the other room and talk about business, because now you're a business as well.
Mm-hmm.
That came way later after I owed taxes.
Mm.
You got what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, you know, they're quick to, or even, you know, some, you may have like a manager or someone who's like been there. They have a few artists they represented. They got years in the business, and they'll run you through the course of, cool, let's get you a business manager. Now, that's cool, but if you're 19,
right,
18, 19, you don't really know what that means even.
Right.
And even my personal experience is that business managers can really mess your situation up as well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, in my case, not to cut you off, like, me and my manager were both brand new.
Right.
You know, this is just somebody from my neighborhood that believed in me, that was like, all right, you're going to stop doing that stuff you're doing, and you're going to go make music because I heard you rap. Like, you're crazy. And, you know, both of us doing this journey, and then it was just like, you know, someone else came in and was like, oh, all right, yo, so who met, like, all right, he manages me, because he was funding it.
Right.
It all organically, it was no, like, there wasn't even a plan. It was just like, yo, you could blow up, trust me. That was the plan. So we both got the learning experience together, so to say.
So then, is it safe to maybe just put out there that, you know, because when you get into the music business, I don't know if this was your experience, but there was always a, yo, go read This Business in Music by Donald, you know, or whatever. There's the Donald Passman, and then there's the big This Business in Music, big voluminous book the size of, like, I don't know.
What was the book you mentioned to Future, to somebody? You mentioned this to somebody, and then he called me. The guy who wrote it called me.
The guy who wrote the book called me?
Yeah, I think I forgot to tell you about this.
That is crazy.
No, you told Bibby.
I told little Bibby to read. Oh, man, I forgot the name.
Is there an audio book? And we're like, we're sure there's an audio book. It's for musicians.
The Artist's Guide to Success in the Music Business.
I've seen that.
And that's Lauren Wiseman. You know, because those are the sort of things that you get, you know, but it doesn't really, when you're reading it, you're 18, 19, you're like, what is this? Is this trigonometry?
Right.
Is it a future? Maybe you will author up such a book to just give someone, like, not just only from the music business perspective, but just like what you were talking about? Like,
yeah, I can't say yes there would, but if I did do something like that, it would definitely be like baby food. Like, I'd word it in such a way, because, like, as fresh and pure as I was when I got into it, like, had I ran into something like the Wiseman dude wrote, like, it would have just been like a different language. So if I did it, it would just be like, all right, this is what a master means. This is what, you know, business, when trying to hire a business manager, these are the things you should look for. And like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, because if I would have ran into that book, I would have threw it, I would have probably broke weed up on it. Like, all right, this is sad. This is too crazy. This is like, even like to this day, like when my attorney tries to explain something to me, like he always looks at me and goes, okay, look, because I tell him, tell me everything as if I know nothing. That's how you get jammed up with these, right. The language.
Totally.
You understand? So like, no, so what does that mean? So how many albums and what's the commitment and how do we get, and it, what's a breach? Give me everything. Everything. So like if I wrote one of those books and I was talking to those kids, the first thing I would talk to them about is just responsibility as a whole. Like, all right, this is what you should worry about first, right? And first thing I would tell them is, I'm going to get into the business later, but become the best artist you could be. Because none of this stuff I'm about to tell you later on in the book will even matter if you're not as best as you can be.
Right.
Focus on that. And it would be, you know, the chapters will, it will progress until I got into stuff, but it would be so not complicated. I tried my best to do that.
Do you think that your journey was stressed, or did you feel the stress at any point because there was no one you could go to?
I'm still stressed.
Yeah.
I'm still stressed like that. I don't know if that goes away only because I'm a restless soul. Like, I set such short-term goals. Mm. The minute it's accomplished, I have enough. There's something else I got to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the guy that's like, if you ask me, all right, so Joel Ortiz in 2020, what's he doing? I can tell you September, October, like I'm routing a tour, like right. That gets accomplished. And then it's, the minute that's over, even while it's happening, I'm already thinking about what is needed to move the brand into a different, like, place. Especially since, like, me personally, like, and I know I'm bouncing around, but I don't care. I just love to.
I'm following you.
Yeah. I'm a separate entity in a rap group, too, Slaughterhouse. And Joel Ortiz, the solo artist, took a back seat to pay attention to that. So I feel like as a solo artist now, I'm brand new again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even though, like,
feels
I might
that
be
way out here.
Yeah, like I'm semi household, like people, you mention a name, but like it's not that I've brought my core to the Slaughterhouse and they appreciate that. And you know, they'll always be my core when I double back and do my stuff. But like I'm about to make brand new fans all over again. Like I'm really treating it as if I wasn't a part of this thing already. Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the only way for me to like really not be bored, to be honest with you.
So then what does that look like or sound like, considering that you do have a rich history, you know? So if you're like going in brand new, do you bring like what preceded that, or is it just everything's just raw, like just fresh, everything's fresh?
It's honest, right? And I just feel like no matter what's your subject matter is, your like everybody just always will have a certain respect for honesty. Mm. This new album, House Slippers, is honest. You know,
but it's not called honest.
It's not. It's called House Slippers. It's called House Slippers because I feel like this is when I got my house slippers on, I'm the most comfortable I can be. Mm-hmm. This is what this album is for me. Like I'm just letting I don't have a problem telling you what's been going on. Like I've grown in so many ways as just a human. Mm. Like that alone is conceptual on a record. You know what I'm saying? Like just everything that, like, I didn't search for what to talk about. Like how I did on previous, you know, projects. Like, all right, we could give them a song where I do, like, you know, it was a round table. Like, what's this album missing? None of this happened. It was just sitting in front of music with the Heatmakers and Illmind, who executive produced the project, and just talking. Like, I don't want to sound corny, but it was just that. Like, just having regular conversations. Mm. So what's been going on? Yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. And music is playing. It was so not, like, it was not generic, man, at all.
1-2, 1-2. Turn this thing up a little bit. Yeah. For those who've been wondering what's going on with Joel Ortiz, it's a lot, man. A lot. Feels like I finally found my house slippers. My mind was going, I stood around niggas, wearing this poker face like I'm holding aces. That so wasn't the case. This business is such a business, don't take it personal. It's more than these beats and letting verses go. Don't end up locked in and wilding like a deaf person buying a rollie, better watch what you signing. Freedom is overrated until they take it. When it's gone, feel like nothing can replace it. Shaking the hand that's feeding you, but you hate it. Disappointed in meetings because of your weight. Just imagine this man with your career in his hands, giving a fuck about your fans. He just looking at that black and white. Seeing you ain't sell too well, you trying to tell him that you was on an indie that wasn't acting right. He don't care, them numbers fucked up his appetite. Your past just fucked you twice like a hermaphrodite. You watching niggas win who ain't half as nice, faced with the choice of giving in or hit the pad and write. But see, the fans can't know, so you leaking freestyles and you nailed that flow. Kids leaving out of venues like he killed that show. Screaming yow everywhere, but you ain't own that though. Your loved one sick all in the midst of this. Watch your mom shoot insulin.
This album is my favorite album. Of mine.
Okay, I was gonna ask you, think is your best, but you pretty much.
Yeah. It's and
let's not take away from the break though.
Like, thank you.
Let's not, because
no, you can't.
There's a lot of gems in there, and you know, I would think for that, let's say that 15-year-old kid who's in the projects right now,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, you drop some gems in there. I think that if nothing else is giving them any answers, it's something to just make them look at the possibility.
All right, so imagine a brick, right? Imagine a brick as something that you listened to when you was next. The brick album would be the person that was hustling on the block with you. House Slippers is the OG. Same respect. But a little bit more, you tuned in a little bit more to this guy because he went to jail. He got money. He's ran around with all the ladies. He's done it. He can still be on, everyone respects him, that's still getting money. He might not be getting, he might have stash money. He got 80s money. He been did it. But you pay attention. You still pay attention. His story's a little bit different. Like, they might call crack something different than I did. Mm. Still crack. They're still going to relate. So when you still can get, you can, there's still elements of that brick on this project. It might not just be the kid standing on the corner anymore, but that was still me. That's still a part of my story. I can tell that story because I was there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and if you listen to a lot of, you know, that just because you grow, it doesn't mean you left. That's what people...
That's a misconception.
Yeah.
They think you, like, you sold your soul, or you just fell off, or you just, like, you just unrelatable, or just...
It's incredible to me, like, how the kids, they associate success with, like, well, he's gone now. Like, that doesn't mean that. That just means, like, we seeing something else now, y'all. Mm. It's ill. I'm going to tell y'all about this. Hopefully one day y'all could come see this. I went to Japan. Yo, you know what it looked like? I was, you know, they just booked me for Bangkok, Thailand. I rode an elephant. Imagine that. I ain't leave. I just got stories to tell.
Yeah. By the way, Bangkok is one of the wildest cities I've ever been to. just had to say,
yo.
If you never, I'm straight born. I don't know if you know, because Tribe gets the whole Queens, you know, Monica. I'm the Brooklyn boy of the group.
Okay, yeah.
Straight Brooklyn boy. And I was like, yo, this is a city I'll never have to come back to again, because it was a little, there's a lot happening in Thailand.
Yo, I will say this, like, not just, like, I was telling, matter of fact, like last week, I think it was, I was telling my boys, you know, everywhere has a hood, right? Like, you know, everywhere I've went has a hood, right? Like, I don't think they really understand that. They think the hood's the hood because they live in that 10-block radius. Like, you know, they go up the avenue to shop and then they come back and trap, and that's life. Like, I'm like, yo, you know, like, if you make the wrong turn in, like, Liverpool, it gets crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
We're all, I told them, we're all over the place. Like, we're not just here in Brooklyn. Like, and they really can't get it because what they, it's so crazy that the only thing, like one of my dudes called me, like I had to really catch myself, like from being like, what are you, and he was just like, yo, Palm Trees is ill. And like, I wanted to be like, I thought he was joking, but he was dead serious. And the first, instead of saying that, I was like, yo, I know it's 9 over there. It's 6 a.m. over here. He was like, it's not like, he still didn't fully grasp. Mm. Like, it's not really, like, music saved my life, bro. Mm. I wouldn't have saw it. Like, I wouldn't have saw nothing. That's why I can relate so well. That's why this album is still, I can still, because I know. I know what these people see. I know what the average kid that got his basketball shorts on from 9 a.m. all the way to the till it's dark playing ball all day. I know what his life is. I know that. Like, I see it all the time.
So you're still impassioned?
Oh, yeah. That don't leave. That's why I'm restless. You know what my problem is? I mean, I guess it's a good problem. Like, I talked to my mom about that stuff. I want everybody to be saved. Mm. I feel so bad that I am not, like, one of the few from my neck of the woods that sees more. It's so sad, bro.
So then let's just throw something crazy out there. Let's say tomorrow you go to bed tonight and tomorrow you wake up the mayor of New York City. What is that? What is day one? What is the rest of your What is that like?
This
Explain
is the
that.
Best image.
Like Joel Ortiz, like everything that you've gone through, we went to bed tonight. Tomorrow you wake up, you're the
and
mayor
like we
of New
all
York
elected
City.
You too.
You guys elected me. My God,
would you live
you mean
in
like
Gracie
the first
Mansion?
I'm just like even... because you say you want everyone to be successful. You want every
okay.
So
maybe I'll start. Well, we're all in agreement. It's going to start with the youth.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to be talking about something we can do for tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about all of the tomorrows. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to talk to, and I think from somebody who still goes to the hood, I think it's earlier than what people think. By the time, but you can't talk to nobody 15 and shooting guns already. I'm sorry. You got to catch him in elementary school. Like, that's the problem with some of these programs I see. Like, they're talking to the kid that's already gone. He is, the only thing about him that's 15 is his age. Hmm. He is already living like somebody 25. His mom smoked crack, his father's gone, and the ignorant OG raises him. Hmm. He's gone. I ain't saying give up. I'm just saying that's not who you target. You got it? It might sound early, they got 8 to 10. Right before they get to junior high school and get introduced to alcohol, weed, sex. Because that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like, right before.
Absolutely.
So I would set up programs to speak to that youth. I don't know if it would be at community centers, schools, wherever it would be at. Like, there would be a forum, and it would happen as much as, I don't know, it would have to be frequent. Like, and I'd give them, even though they're young, I'd give them harsh examples. Like, I'd show them stuff. Like, they need to see things.
They're already seeing things, so I'm not, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's not like they can't, like, if you doze off and leave the news on and your son is up, he sees wild things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd let them, like touring overseas and stuff, and you know, like, their news is, like, uncensored. Like, a bomb went off and 60 people, like, you see a limb on the floor. Stop. No more La La Land for these kids. No more imagination. Even though y'all think it's real. Like, no, it's real out here. Like, I would target the youth. That would be the first thing. I mean, I'd sit down. I'm lying. The first thing I would do is hire a great cabinet. I would hire great people and figure it out. Because that's what the best people hire the best people.
Absolutely.
So I would sit around a round table and figure out who was going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm starting a campaign right now.
Yeah, he's a minister of culture over there.
Yo, I feel that something different really has to happen. And, you know, when you come from where you come from, where I come from, and you see, at least for me, I see the path and the direction that things are going into. I'm just like, when do we slam on the brakes and just be like, time out? Like, whatever has been happening, whatever we've been doing isn't working. It's just failure.
It's failure. Well, you got to understand, it's rooted. It's really rooted. It's deeply rooted. That's why we got to start so young, because it's dudes. I know dudes in their 40s gangbanging. Like, I'm not. Yo, these 15, like I said, these 15, 16-year-olds, man, the people that they being raised by aren't right. And they're the only thing, and the only thing about them that's 40 is their age, too, because they're still 15. So they're not really getting an adult. Like, you know, these are people that are, that are like still cutting corners with on everything in life.
What kind of household did you grow up in?
My mom was addicted to drugs, and my father wasn't there. My grandma was like my one little. I used to go to her house, but you know, there's but so much you can pull the wool over. You can get over. I was getting over, but I wasn't. To be honest with y'all, I wasn't bad. Like, I had some of my friends were bad kids. Mm-hmm. Like now looking back, I wasn't bad. I was afraid to lead. I was really, really afraid
to
lead.
Well, how do you know that at that age though? Like,
yeah.
You know, like if you're not giving any tools, any vision of opportunity, any
right.
vision of like guidance, then
right.
It has to be an example.
There has to be an example.
Exactly. Like we would jump somebody, and I'd be the one throwing fake punches. Like, I don't really want to hit him. Like, I'm, you know, my guys are hitting him though. I don't really want to kick him. It looks like I kicked him hard. And then like I was afraid to be like, why are we jumping him again? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
I wasn't soft though. Like, I would fight the whole way. I had no brothers, no sisters. I was one of the one. Like, there was two Spanish families in a black project. I was one of them. I had to fight. Mm. But I still didn't want to. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was afraid. Like, I feel like now that I'm thinking that, like right now, I feel like I could have changed like some of my guys' lives. Like, if I would have knew at 15 and 16 some of the things now. Like, because there's no truer statement. Like, there's no worse thing than a waste of talent. Like, and I've been around some really smart guys. Like you know, we'd have saw something else. Like, I didn't see anything else then either, so I can't really beat myself up, but I still could have tried, like, instead of like endorsing.
It's like going, you can't look back like that though. Is the music sort of a way of retribution, I guess, for you? Or is it just not even connected in that way? It's just, you know.
You know what? Like, some of the songs, like, I don't even realize it until I listen back. They're like therapeutic to me. Like, I'll be writing to myself a lot. I think I'm writing to my fans and I'm writing to me. And then you know, a lot of my fans relate because they still there.
Living their life.
Yeah, they still, you know. But I be listening back. Because I still feel like I'm nowhere near where I should be.
Well,
what do you mean?
Like, on so many different levels. Like, I'm greatly appreciated by my peers in hip hop, from the OGs to the youngins. But I don't feel like I'm a like staple. I want people when they say Joel Ortiz, them to be like, oh son, check it out. He did this and this for the culture. Like, not like, yeah, son was, yeah. For, yo, can't, nothing bad to say about him. Like, son was ill. Like, it needs to be more than some. Like, son was ill for me.
Do you know the formula for getting to that though?
No,
it's a little bit on the mainstream level. I mean, it's not even a little bit. It's a lot on playing. It's kind of that's the challenge in finding a way to be, you know, like truly and raw, you know, but also make the music palatable
right,
for the greater masses of that dynamic, that's going to give you that feeling that you're making that sort of an impact.
You know what? We're like social media now, and the power of the net. Like, I feel like now you don't get to develop behind closed doors.
Right. Yeah. We talk about this a lot.
You get what I'm saying? It's like, everybody gets to see the laundry. Like, no. We saw you already. Your first impression went out. Bye.
Yeah.
You're not, you know what I mean? Before, it used to be nurtured. It used to be put in the oven. Somebody used to put the foot, not then, it's still a little bloody. Put it back in. And then by the time it got to the public, it was just like, yo, that steak's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, people are doing videos off their phone and like, yo, I'm trying to, like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's a lot different now. Like this go around, like, I feel like just me personally with this album right here, like, this is it for me. Mm. As far as that stage, like, as far as me getting to that, this has to be it. Now, I'm not swinging for that stage. Thank God, I feel like I found that delicate balance with this album, on how to get to that mainstream. Because you need, like you said, you need that little bit of that presence too, for it to be, even though you've done so much, for it to be validated.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, see, and he even took that here, and he played this stage like everybody else. You know what I mean? So I think that this album is going to do that, and you know that. People over at Penalty, they believe in that, Neil Levine, and they've done, he's like, you know, he's done, people are proven, and I can't wait, but at the same time, I'm nervous, you know what I'm saying, because I know, like, your fans love you when you the artist that they want you to be.
Yeah.
Like, and if it doesn't come across like, yeah, my man made it, then it comes across like, Son is a high.
Yeah.
If you got to catch that thin little hair where it's just like, told y'all. Like, where they got to celebrate it. Like, told y'all. It took long, but I told y'all. Rather than, that one sound mad poppy. Like, Son is on the album?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a, I found it. But I know I can relate to people going through that struggle. I know what it was. That box, boy, it ain't cardboard. It ain't cardboard. Woo!
And who executive produced this?
This is executive produced by the Heatmakers, but Illmind had a fantastic hand in the album. I mean, they kind of work side by side, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Illmind. He's such a down-to-earth person.
Awesome dude.
Yeah.
Heatmakers, awesome dude. My boy Frequency got a joint on there too. He has the monster record he just did for Eminem and Rihanna. Like, so now Frequency, I tried to call him before we got here, and it was like the Sprint PCS telephone number. You know that move? He pulled that move.
Yep.
But it happens.
You sound really excited.
Ooh, I'm antsy. You want to know why? Because, like I said, like at the beginning of this interview, like, it's so honest and there's some growth, and I'm talking about some good things. And it's been a while since I did Joel. You know, Joel took a backseat to Slaughterhouse, like my alter ego, and you know, me being a quarter of that phenomenal ride. And that ride ain't over, but it's like getting off. It's like, all right, going to Great Adventures, and your favorite ride is the Nitro, and you go on it, and you come down, and it's just like, yo, let's go on King the Car. And then when you do that, like, it was fun, and you're like, let's do King the Ka again. That's what Slaughterhouse was. Let's do it again. And then you look over, and somebody's coming on to King the Ka, and I'm like, yo, Nitro's crazy. It's just like, word. Let me get back on that for a second, too. So I'm back to, like, my favorite ride, my ride.
I mean, we need to do, I think, like, a little bit of explaining to our audience, like, how Slaughterhouse came to be and just sort of that story. We can even just sort of play the track. I don't think it'll be that difficult. But
right.
What was that? Can you just sort of talk about that conversation? So it was Joe Budden's song, right?
Yeah, it was for his Halfway House mixtape. It was a mixtape song. And he kind of just was like, you know, he had an idea of who he wanted on it. Like, at this time, like, you know, like, Joe Budden TV was like his little baby. And, you know, he had asked his fans, like, if I was to put together the ill combo, like, for a record, And like the kids were just hitting them, like, you know, Roy, not Joel, whatever. And like, you know what I'm saying? And he reached out to us and you know, he told me who was going to be on the record. I was like, yeah, all right, cool, let's do it, whatever. And I swear, like, that song formed a group.
Hey, yo, Joey, what you said? 24, right? All right, cool, I got you. I define gutter. Every time I rhyme, I climb up another notch. Hip-hop got my spine smothered, but I'll be fine, brother. My mind hovers above all you job suckers. Listen, that's word to my mother. You throw a shot at me, I'm throwing a shot back. Yours is on a joint, mine's whistling by your top hat. Yeah, I'm cool, but you're violating. I'll cock back, open the max mouth and black out like I do not rap. I'm sick and tired of niggas lying. They fifth is lying in the second drawer next door to some bullshit they iron. Y'all be making them stories the little kids is buying. I do everything my Penn State like a nifty lion. I ain't gotta mention the streets on a song to getting a nigga ass on these beats like a thong pause. Veterans co-sign me to up and come a scared. The pretty girls go poppy is my underwear. Never in 100 years I thought I'd be a rapper, but in less than 100 bars I knew I'd be a factor. I'm PS4 and HD and the screen is plasma. Your Atari 2600 with a weak adapter. Between us the gap so crazy. I'm Gucci, Louis V, the Gap, Old Navy. I get Gucci in a V, you attract no ladies.
Like, he leaked that record, and the demand was faster than the brand. It was just like, so you guys are doing it out? Like, it was just mayhem. Mayhem happened. It, the fans, I don't know if they know this, but they forced a conference call. Like, they forced us to all get on the phone like, yo, what's going on, man? You got time? Like, you got time? I got a little bit of time. Y'all want to try to just put something together? And all while we're doing that, the fans are spreading the word. We don't even have a name. You know what I mean? I remember we were just on the phone like, so what's it going to be? We're just like, yo, the first song was called Slaughterhouse. That's what they're tripping over that record, all right.
What was the first show? You remember the first show you guys did together?
I think the first show was SOBs.
Wow.
I think the first show was SOBs, like, so loud. I mean, yeah, so loud, like, no practice, like, no rehearsal, flying Crook in, flying Royce in, like, a day before, just going over, like, all right, so we're going to do, because we didn't even have a catalog. So it was just, like, infusing solo songs mixed with the one we leaked. Like, it was just, but we quickly found out, like, it wasn't about the set. It was about the kids seeing Slaughterhouse. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they all on the same stage. This is real.
What did that, do you remember your feelings, like, going out there and just seeing that? Like, what
yeah,
did that
well,
feel like?
At that time, SOB is in New York, and at that time, I was probably one of the stronger brands in the equation. In New York, I had a record deal. I had a record on the radio. So, and they were coming in my backyard. So they I remember them just being just like, all right, so, and then you could do Call Me to close it. Like, cause it was a familiar radio mm-hmm. record, like things like that nature. And it's crazy now. Cause I remember now I was able to look off the stage and see the 48 Royce fans, the 60 Joe fans, the 15 dudes who couldn't believe Crooked came from Cali, like, and then the Joe, like, I was able to watch and witness, this is going to be big because our solo fans are here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is being formed by 4 solo followings. This is huge. It's not, you know, and guess what? Because it's all of us, we're brand new again. Like, because there was kids that knew all of Royce and Crook stuff that was just like, yo, that fat Spanish dude is nice, too. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's when I realized, like, how, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, you could be on and still somebody could have no clue who you are unless that other stage we talked about gets graced.
Right.
That main, you know what I'm saying? So it was just a bunch of kids. We were sharing data, I felt like. Like, yo, here goes an email address from my fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just so ill. And now
like a reverse Wu-Tang plan.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And now I can't even tweet without, like, the association. Like today I said, yo, I could smell a tour. I smell a tour in the making. I'm talking about for House Slippers. This is like, where are y'all going? Like, I was just like, oh, my God. Man. Y'all better come to. I'm like, I'm just got to answer, like, yeah, no doubt, we'll be. Like, just got to embrace it because the brand is just so, it's so humongous. It's fun.
It's a funny thing about a super group, you know, because it's like, why do we want that? But we really want it. I mean, you did Lucy Pearl. That's a super group.
Oh, yeah.
And people were with that because of individual.
Yeah. Actually, that's how Raphael sold it to me. Originally it was supposed to be me, Raphael, and D'Angelo. And that's only because always hang out and make music together. But then D was working on a Voodoo album, and Sadiq was real serious about it. And then he called me just being serious and was like, okay, yo, listen, you ready? I was like, he never talks to me that way.
Right.
And he was like, Ali Shaheed Muhammad from A Tribe Called Quest. Raphael Sadiq from Tony, Tony, Tony. And I'm like, where's he going?
Right.
And he held, and it was a pause, and I was like, Dawn Robinson from En Vogue. I was like, ah, oh my God, what the? Are you crazy? So yeah, that was.
It's because that's how we all listen to music, you know. And it's like you make it come to life, and then the idea that you would make something new out of it is like, that's the freshest.
That you know what? So to ask, you know what's also great, like about like just being around like solo, like proven, like
right.
Because now you, there's inspiration all over the place. Like, records are, it's not only you and what you are bringing. Like, now there's another idea, and you get to shine on the way you would talk about that.
Right.
Like, oh, good idea. Like, I'm going to crush this. But you didn't, like, it didn't, you didn't manifest it. You're just going to add to it. That's ill about being in a group.
Yeah.
That's ill. Like, Slaughterhouse showed me that, like, Joe coming in with one with a chorus already on it and a verse, and you just being like, oh, watch what I do. This is crazy. Like, you don't get, like, it's so much harder. You, like, as a soloist, it's like, oh, I got to carry them for this long. What am I going to talk about? Why? I got 4 seconds before they turn from it. Like,
did you bring any of that, like, that culture of, like, that stew or just, like, having that sort of interaction with anyone into, like, the House Slippers at all? Like, just bringing people in to be like, what would you do with this or?
Yo, to be honest with you,
or like, did you just box it out and just went in?
I had a lot of people in.
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I had. You know what's so crazy, though, is that they started out or were set up to be, like, music meetings, and some of them we didn't play music in. Some of them we played a song, a few beats. And I'm realizing that, like, that was the gift. The gift was supposed to just be a meeting of the minds at that time. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to hear what people wanted to hear from me. Like, you know, you get a new Joel. I started one meeting. You know, like, you get a new Joel album. What's your favorite track? Go. It's the one where he talks about he doesn't drink anymore and stuff like that and what's been going on and how he lost 80 pounds and things like that. Somebody else was like, it's a pickup from the brick. Like, he's still on the block, but it's like this now. Another one was like, it saved his life. How music, like, how this jerk, like, it was just so many different things.
So you take criticism, you look for it?
I love it. I don't even like that word. I hate the word criticism. Anything anybody tell, like, I just like, just share.
Input.
Share.
Feedback.
Just share. Share. My crew is far from yes men. I don't, if you're a yes man, I'll fire you. And I can tell really, really fast. Like, if you just like, nah, yeah, like, all right, we're going to talk because Robert's got to go. Robert has, he's giving this nothing.
Right.
Why do I want him around? He's giving me nothing. Like, evoke something. I want something. Make me mad, make me happy, make me something. Make me. Create. Don't just be blank. I can't have blank people around me. I don't like it.
Could you imagine this cabinet conversation?
Exactly.
I want to work there so bad. Look at my job.
Oh, man. I don't know. But we would just, like, I love to talk away hunger. Like, I always feel like the best conversations are when you be like, I don't really want to walk in this meeting. I'm starving. And then it's 9 hours have went past and you're no longer hungry because all of your food was for thought. Like, wow. I love to talk like that. And this album, especially on the intro. The intro to my album is titled, the title track, House Slippers. You're probably not going to be able to. Anything you probably want to know, it's in there.
Did you ever feel like you had something to prove? Like, when you, for example, like, going in and making the brick, I'll just say this. Some of your approach, it just sounds like you just, it's just like you've been waiting to get into the boxing ring or something, you know? And it's just like, I'm wondering, did you feel that way? And how was that different going into this?
I felt worse.
Yeah.
I felt worse. I'm going to tell you why. There's nothing worse than, this is going to sound real cocky, real arrogant, but it's honest. There's nothing worse than knowing you better than people that are getting more of a look than you are. I'm sorry. For whatever reason. I don't care if they, it just right place, right time, right session. That dude's a fan and it worked out. Or he manages a dude that knows the guy on Smash or Rap, and then he got that look, and then and it's working for him. I'm not hating. Better. Why? So I want to display every chance I get. Like, these, like, I'm not the most friendly guy.
You come off friendly to me. This is my first time meeting you. What did you say?
I said I find that hard to believe.
I mean in this way. Like, I'm not just gonna say what's politically correct. Mm-hmm. Like, if you ask me, like, of these new acts, who you feeling? It's Slim. And I don't care about saying that. I'm too proud to lie about that. Like, no, he's getting over. And that sound, that'll fade, and this is what's gonna stay. I like Son. That grind's ill. He could be better. He could talk about more. I heard that album. All of that as a fan, because I'm answering that not as competition anymore, just as a fan.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm gonna always give my fan answer, and it's always gonna be true. I got another record on the album that I like. It's called Q&A. And I'm basically saying, like, I know what you're gonna ask me, and I answer it in advance. You get what I'm saying? And it's just like, I firmly believe in my opinion because I thoroughly research before I talk. If that makes sense. So, like, when people, like, well, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but mine matters. Like, mine matters. I know what's going on.
Let me tell you what I'ma do today. Today is just me and you, you and I, for a Q&A. I know the questions you gon' ask, all I'ma do is say what's on my mind, I'm just telling you why. This ain't snapback meets new era. This new era gets smacked to they neck, snap back, and that goes for whoever. I ain't done working. I'm just one person that promised to keep this shit pure like a young virgin. Your dumb version of hip-hop got us uncertain. Your daughter dressed like a nigga, nigga, your son's twerking. I'm still a two-stepper, stepping with two heifers. Still step to your crew extra quick, this what I do. Let's just tell them why I'm such a thoroughbred. Born and raised in that brook, you shook. Look what my burl bred. Let me tell you what I'ma do today. Today is just me and you, you and I, for a Q&A. I know the questions you gon' ask, all I'ma do is say what's on my mind, I'm just telling you why. All this time away from working solo, snapping photos with my bros in the slaughter's been an honor, but I'm back to dolo. Feet is Nike, the hat is Polo, I'm no fashion logo. No gay basher, but if you tough, then don't be acting homo. Let me tell y'all why I hit the tread. Wasn't to lose weight and get this bread. Nah, homie, you've been misled. Last year I shot a fair one with my nigga Fred and damn near dropped dead. I should've won, but I got whipped instead. I ain't like that, so I stopped that liquor to the head. Dropped the new ports, cop new shorts, and watch my figure shred. Y'all cuffing chicken heads. Speaking of cuffs, I made this slut marry my nigga in the feds to give him visit head. Man, let me tell y'all why I'm real rap. Why I don't need a rope chain or dress like Soul Train to bring that feel back. Let me tell you what I'ma do today. Today is just me and you, you and I, for a Q&A. I know the questions you gon' ask, all I'ma do is say what's on my mind, I'm just telling you why. This for those who ain't know.
This is like, even like when you do feature tracks, like, because we of what we all come from, and I'm talking about like the MCs, because of what we all come from, like even if some have graced the main stage, And I'm right here, whatever. That level of respect, it doesn't come from those accomplishments. It just comes from pen and pad. So they be trying to catch you on a track. Don't think that don't happen. Don't think somebody says, all right, Joel Ortiz asked me to be on this. I'm a body. That happens. Mm-hmm. I don't let it happen. Like, you're not going to catch me. I approach it like, yo, you're not going to catch me. Like, I don't want anybody to be able to be like, even if, like, with Slaughterhouse, this happens all the time because they're all phenomenal MCs. You can edge me, but you ain't going to body me. And my presence is going to be felt.
Who's challenged you the most then to make you feel like, oh, you felt the edge. You felt, like, you felt a little scrape. You got that nick.
At different times, all of them. For different reasons. It wouldn't be fair to say, like, no one has, like, you know, there's been a couple of times where maybe Crooked found a pocket that I didn't find on a beat, like, shit, he caught that flow, bastard. Like, you know what I mean? Come on, you didn't, and I beat myself up. Like, that's how selfish I am. Like, instead of just being like, Crook, you bodied, I'm like, you didn't dig deep, Joel. Hmm. I just, I'm hard on myself. Or something like maybe like the an approach that Royce took at a chorus. It's just like, come on, man. Like, Joel, you're better than this. And it's all, I love these guys. Like, so it's not like I'm, and I don't know if they'll ever be like this friendly comp that goes on and stuff like that. But for me, it is sometimes. I'll never not be on a corner in my head, like in a cypher.
Hmm. What about outside the group?
Outside the group? I'll say this, like, just listening to certain people. Like, sometimes I wonder, well, I used to wonder before I met M and hung out with him and seen what it takes. I used to wonder how he was that lyrically and, like, how he was able to play with words so well. And then, you know, I met him and I realized that with all his accolades and with all his success and respect, he's in the studio every day. Every day. Like, if he's not in the studio, he's, like, sick. Like, really. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can't say the same for me. I'm not in the studio every day. I wasn't. Now I am. Mm-hmm. You know? So when I double back, I'm like, yo. And from sharpening my sword and working on my craft and just being there, because just because you're there don't mean you got to work every day. Like, I used to, that was the biggest thing. Like, you don't got to cut a record every time. It's just being there.
Yeah.
That matters.
Yep. People don't understand that outside, though. They think, like, the whole process is just a fairy tale land, like a life of luxury. Yeah. Like, you're just kicking up on, you know, your feet on the couch every day, all day.
Yeah.
And there are many times when I'm in the studio and I'm just like, I'm thinking, you know, I just like, you know, it's like you be there or there's a problem I haven't figured out and it's driving me crazy because I've been staring at the machine and it's like, you're not getting the answer there. So it's like, okay, but you still got to be in that environment.
That's right.
And that's part of the process. And
that's
people
right.
who come and they see that and they're like, especially people that you've dated, and they're like,
oh,
you're doing nothing here. It's
yeah.
just like, what do you mean? Like, no, but this is part of the process.
Right. Those are some of the best sessions, man, where you ain't got nothing to do, really. Like, just for me, like, where you don't really know what exactly is happening today. But you go in, you pull your computer out, you might just browse the internet. For this album, some of my favorite records have been like that. Because they started out as conversations. They started out as jokes. They started out as, what is that? Oh, man, Moscato. I don't even like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like, they just started out human. And then you start painting sometimes. Or sometimes you don't. Or sometimes you go home and you think about that conversation. It's just crazy. You got to be there. M taught me you got to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't cut every day, but he's in there. That's it. This is it. This is livelihood. That's it. This is it. This is what matters to me. You know what I'm saying? And I used to finish up and be, you know, let's go out. Let's find some bad broads. Let's hit the, oh, this is popping. Like, stuff like that. I'm not saying don't have fun. I'm just saying, like, prioritize, man.
Well, the key to success, then, you're saying, is, like, be on the grind.
It's not even that, son. It's realizing that the fun is in the studio. Mm. It just might sound crazy. Now work is going out and clubbing, and that's work now. Because I got to show my face. I got to be like, oh, he was there. I used to look forward to that. Now I'm just like, why can't we lock in Tuesday? Who did you bring? Who's coming in?
Yeah.
That's the party. What do you mean I can't go clubbing? That's what I feel about the studio. What are you talking about? Why didn't you tell me you booked Tuesday? Like, I'm panicking. Hmm. It used to be the other way around, and that's the win. That's why I stopped. That's why I lost all this weight and stuff like that too. Because one day I got up, I never forget, it was September 3rd, 2012, and I got up, and I'm feeling like crap again. And I went hard that night, and I'm getting up and brushing my teeth. And the first thing that popped in my head was like, yo, I hope I don't gotta go to the studio. Like, do I got anything? Do I got any radio interviews? What do I gotta do today? Like, I feel like crap. And in that very same moment, I said, what are you talking about? You live in this place that you brush it, like this. Everything you got is from the studio. You are thinking wrong, young man. And I said, yo, you gotta stop drinking for a little bit. And then a week turned to 2 weeks. I said, you did 2 weeks, do a month. Just clean up. And then a month turned to just go to Halloween. You could go to Halloween. You did September. Do October. And then Halloween came and I didn't drink. And I was like, all right, Thanksgiving makes sense. I was setting those same short-term goals. Yeah. And then it turned into 18 months of no drinking and working out and all types. A whole different life change. And, like, I learned, man, it's all a mindset. Mm. It's all a mindset. The fun is in this. The studio has been the only reason I've been able to smile.
Well, does this mean that I'm going to go out there on the limb and just ask it, can we get more Joel Ortiz albums? Not the mixtape, you know, but like, because I feel that you have a lot. You have a lot to say, and clearly just in this conversation of just how you see life and how you would direct certain things and set up certain things to help out people in this situation or inspire people in this way. I feel like we need a lot more of that from you.
We could use
a lot more of it if you be so inclined to.
Man, first of all, I appreciate that coming from you, like just wanting anything I'm talking about anyway.
I mean, you know, you carry New York. I don't know if you know it, but I mean, like to me, you of that KRS ilk, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and there's not a lot of that. So, you know, just in where we are now, 2014 and moving forward and just everything that you've done, like, is great. But I'm like, with where you are now, you know, passion for the studio.
I got it. Cause this is a moment. This feels crazy. I'd love to continue to make good music. I'd love to do 150 more Joel Ortiz albums. I don't, you know, you can't promise it.
No, you can't.
All I could say is I'd love to, and I guess I'll be able to. You, whatever happens from here, from House Slippers, will kind of determine that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the same time that I'm nervous about like how well it's gonna be received, I'm also nervous about the 15-year-old that's just like, this don't sound like what's out there. Like, yeah. Hey, music, that's not what it, I'm banking on honesty and realness coming across for everybody.
Hmm.
I don't know if everybody's ready to hear it though. You know what I'm saying? So like, what I'm trying to say is, if I can't be me, I'm not doing no more music.
Mm. That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm not gonna, cause yes, there's other ways like to coexist with what's going on, but I refuse to compromise me for that. So like, I'm gonna give you this. This is me. This is what, you know, my core loved, still loves, I love, my mom loves, my close friends love. Like, it's all coming from a place of love and nothing else. What the producers loved, like, just all good. It's all coming from good places. Like, now, if you can hear this, I don't mind you not being a fan, but just don't push it to the left because you stuck on the right.
Mm.
What's being shoved. Like, I want a fair chance. Like, that's why I was always one of those dudes that was just like, man, no, I'm not, I am so far from Mad at the South, it's crazy. I love some of those records that come on at 1:30, like, when, like, it's great. It's great for what it is. Like, I just want things to coexist. It's kind of like what I was talking to the 8 and 10-year-olds, like, you know what I mean? Like, give them some, let them pick. Can everybody pick? Can it not just be like, this is what you gotta like in hip hop now? Mm-hmm. Can it just be like, yo, there's this and then there's this and then there's this? Okay, you want that? That's dope. All right, we got another order of that.
Right.
I feel like right now it's just like, this is it. So like, I'm afraid too. Like, it just be like, it's been a while now that they got like substance. There's a couple of people are rhyming and giving some, you know. But majority, man, these little kids are just getting taught to just fly and dance.
I don't know, man. I go to shows
on the main
a
stage.
Lot.
On the main stage.
All right,
main.
Yeah, that's fair. But I go to pretty big venues. Like, I was just at Irving Plaza last week at the Underachiever show.
Mm-hmm.
That was all teenagers. Like, I swear to God, there was nobody over the age of 21 there. And, like, there's no reason they're listening to that music. There's absolutely, how do they even find that?
What do you think drove them there? Like, and your
the internet, and linking with the right people and visuals, and I think that you do that, and you've done that with, and Slaughterhouse has done that.
Well, maybe I'm just scared. Then, is it right to
it's
just be?
It's a scary thing.
Absolutely.
Just like, it's been so long since I did a solo project. Maybe I'm just scared.
You're in your own head right now.
Yeah, I'm always in my own head. I crumble up pieces of paper. I do all types of stuff. It's been a while. Like, when you get back on a bike, you can't wheelie for a block like you used to. You pick it up and it falls, and you pick it up like, I'm scared, but I'm sure I'll wheelie, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I have some questions about battling in general, which is funny, you know, for like, I guess maybe it's scary to say you're scared when you come out of a battle tradition or something like that. But like, you know, you talk about how everybody has everything they know. Like, you give them everything they could possibly criticize you with on the intro track.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that mindset stay with you forever? Why are you bringing back, what is this, Total Slaughter?
Oh, Total Slaughter.
I mean, because that is the thing I think the kids don't know about, is, like, the Smack DVDs and, like, how crucial that was for a while and how that still influences people they hear.
You know what I feel like? I feel like Total Slaughter is giving that scene that stage. Like, we're able to help them with that. Like, you know, that people are gonna, there's a big battle audience. Like, but we're about to, like, bring it to a, it's going to be much more noticed now. Mm-hmm. There's going to, like, we're inviting, come on, come all. This is what, here's a stage. Mm. You know, we taking it from Irving Plaza to the Garden.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So, because I don't want to take anything away from them kids that are battling. Like, the reason we're even doing this because we're fans of what they're doing. See, Slaughterhouse is an MC-driven group. Battling is the forum for lyricism, like, in its purest, no music. I am the personality. Pay attention to me. And me versus him, and that's it. And, like, we catch ourselves on tour checking those battles, and, like, that's how it happened, like, just being like, yo, imagine we, you know, that's how all of our stuff happens. Imagine we. And then the right cabinet. You know what? We could do it like this. This is how we can make that, you know what I'm saying? And then that's that. But these kids, man, like, they're nice. They're basically, it's turned into, like, a show. Like, it's like a play. There's more things than just, like, the reason people pick a winner is more than just, like, yo, some was better. It's the approach. It's the flow. It's the joke. It's the pause. It's the play on the way he battles. Mm. It's a play. Like, we just begin to play the Broadway. Yeah. Like, all right, everybody, check this out. This is what's going on. And that's why the battle kids, they're excited about it. Like, and even some of them, like, when we were putting it together and filming it, they were just like, man, I ain't never been this nervous. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yo, don't even stress it, man. Like, and that let us know, like, the stage we're giving them.
It's dope.
You know what I'm saying?
What about, you also mentioned some of your competition. Like, I feel like that a lot, like, that we don't get enough shine, that whatever, I don't even need to talk about it. But saying that, like, so-and-so knows somebody at On Smash or Rap Radar or whatever, and that's how he gets on. I mean, you have had a lot of success with the hip-hop media, Unsigned Hype and the stores and mm-hmm. Chairman's Choice and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. I mean, what do you think is better? Like, that type of journalism where it's like this one, five mics, four, three, or like long, like explainer type articles or long, like reported stories, like I went with Joelle to Williamsburg and I met his mom and I did this. Like, do you prefer one to the other? Do you pay attention to any of it? Do you think any of it has any effect on your career?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely has an effect on my career, and I pay attention to everything.
Yeah.
People are fans of Joelle. Not the rapper. Like, kids that come to my show are fans of me. Like, the things I stand for, the things I talk about, he could very well, if music didn't work out, he could be at UPS with me. They identify with me. Like, that matters. Like, when I meet my mom. Yes. Like, I think that matters so much more now, too. Like,
so the, like, profile. Yeah, type, yeah, like, yeah, the pictures, yeah, yeah, and the long conversations.
Yeah, yeah, because you're going to fly. You're going to become fly by night if it's like, yo, you heard that song with that guy. Like, your brand better be bigger than your music, like, to me. Because people are not buying into the music anymore. They're buying into the person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, let's be honest. Talent has taken a backseat to a bunch of things now in the business. If you're good, it's now a plus. And he's good. Yo, plus he's good. Plus she's good. Like, but she dresses fly. You know, they dress fly. They were at this party. They're cool. They're there. Yep. They're associated with that. And guess, and they pretty good, too. But they already won. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're buying into the person, the movement, the word, the slang, the dress, the me. Be like me. And then so when they rock it to a song, it ain't necessarily the song. It's like, that's son new joint, my man.
Like, it's your friend. It's like, yeah, a social media, yeah, type. Yeah. Like,
with Instagram, they see what you eat. They see where you go. These people are, every day I hang out with a fan I never met.
What?
That's what the internet, that's what social media does. There's fans that hold on to it. Eminem wrote Stan, and imagine if Stan didn't kill himself, he'd be able to really know M a little bit more now, maybe. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I'd say something like, you know, I'm, yo, just taking a stroll down a deuce. There's a kid on 43rd that's like, yo, if I go to 42nd and walk up, I might bump into that dude. That's crazy to me. I can't imagine, like, if I was able to listen to, like, Dos Effects and or MOP and Billy Dance was just like, yeah, man, right here on Sutter and whatever. I would have been like, he's on Sutter? Billy Dance is on Sutter? I'm going over there like, yo.
You seem to be really comfortable with that, though, like from the social networking aspect. You know, yeah, like yeah. Me, I'm not that comfortable with the whole. Like, I love the relationship, but I know people are crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
You know what makes me comfortable with that? Because I feel like things happen when you change the way you move. I was on a train. I was on a train today. I Instagrammed it at 8th Ave and 14th Street. Yo, man, it feels good on a train. To some kids, it's unbelievable to them. To mm-hmm. me, it's like rather take the train in the city than drive. That's it. There's no nothing. I don't want nothing from that. That's it. I'm a New Yorker that takes the train sometimes. Not because I'm tough, not because I'm unafraid, just because it gets me to 52nd Street faster than my car, and I don't feel like paying $48 to park my truck. For what? That's a perk of a New York being a New Yorker, the subway system. I use it. I'm comfortable with that. I still go to parties with my manager, Dennis, me and him. That's it. Two of us. So what? What's the big deal? If you're going to harm me, you're going to attempt to harm me with 95 of us? Or me and my dude. To some people, this dude's crazy. Ah, yo, man, yo, he's thorough. He work around Ralph Security. No, I just go partying with one dude. That's how I party. That's it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm comfortable with that kind of stuff because I don't have to, I don't turn into somebody on these social media outlets. I'm just myself.
Well, maybe also people are different because they have more access. Like, maybe there are fewer people just trying to get, like, that little piece of something because you give them a little piece every day.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. You know what my problem is that someone will say something and then it's like I love the interaction most of the time, but it's just yeah, that like one or two, like just, and that's the one that I'm like, I really need to talk to you. Like,
yeah.
And everyone's like, don't address that. I'm like, I have to address, like, this right. is the per, like, I'd rather them now be in my living room. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
I get you.
So
I can tune that out though,
and I don't know how to tune that
you,
out.
I got you.
So then I just get to a point where I'm just
that's
like,
your other book.
Yeah, I need help.
You know why? You know what helps me with that? Maybe this will help you. It's the fact that how many people occupy the Earth now? Like
8 billion.
Between 8 and 9 billion, right?
I think so.
And they commented on your shit. Sorry, if like, you know what I mean. They commented on you. Like I love that. Like, I put a picture up yesterday. It was a nice day, and they had opened a pool in my complex, and I went swimming. I told my lady, take a picture, whatever. Like, and it was mad people that were just like, oh, man, blah, blah, blah. It was fun. This is great. Yo, that dude, yo, you having a blast. Yo, you put on some, what? And then it was just one dude that was just like, yo, you got a mad round basketball head. Never noticed you without a hat. And I could just, like, it's just like, yo, fam, like, why? And then you just got to be like, but he's watching. Hmm. Like, he's a fan. Haters are your biggest fans. And that's when I'll be like, all right, cool, it's cool. That's how I deal with that.
Thank you.
I just try to, because, yo, there's so much more he could be doing rather than being like, you know what I didn't like about Drive? You. It's like, really, fam?
I'm so mad. Right away. Like, yeah, there.
Like,
don't even jump.
I laughed those off. Those are fun.
Okay, I wanted to go back to, because you mentioned M.O.P.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Roll Deep with Tego.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the 20th anniversary of that album.
Right.
Oh. I mean, did you listen to them? Like, what were you doing in the 90s?
I was being a little kid in a project, flipping on dirty mattresses, playing tag, playing basketball, listening to hip hop, and you know those. How about some hardcore? I remember looking at that video, going like, "Yo, he's got a Tech 9. Like, yo, he has a hoodie with. He just showed it. He lifted his hoodie, and that was a Tech 9. Yo,
them dudes is hard.
How about some hardcore?
Yeah, we like it raw.
How about some hardcore?
Yeah, we like it raw.
How about some hardcore?
Yeah, we like it raw.
On the corner, posted up 20 deep with your F on your hip, ready to flip. Whenever you empty your clip, dip, trip your sidekick. You got skill, your best bet is to chill and do yourself a favor. Don't come nowhere never.
Like it just be like, yo, like being in a party against the wall, sweaty, mad young. Like, yo, how am I gonna get over, make my way over there? Like, cause in the early, I don't know, we were dancing to hardcore hip. Like, yeah. We was grinding.
Yeah.
To hardcore, didn't it? You didn't wait for reggae or, it was just, how about some hardcore? You're still looking down at the fatty, like, yeah. Like, I missed that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just remember, like, yo, their energy, because their energy never changed.
Right.
They always felt like that the grimy Brownsville, like the two guys, like, yo, man, you don't really want it with those guys. They're not playing fair. They're in a poverty-stricken neighborhood, and they're rocking? Leave them alone. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the music just felt so, it just felt so live. Like, it felt in front of you. Like, you know, this is pre-knowing the process. These guys performed when they recorded, I feel like. Like, me being a dude that goes in a booth, like, sometimes, you know, and the paper might be in front of you, and you're trying to own it. Like, you're trying to, like, memorize it and own it so you could deliver it the best. I feel like these dudes used to know all the records and just be like, Pocus! Like, it was, like in front of a crowd. Mm. And they still come across like that, man. I know both of them dudes. Genuine, nice guys, cool dudes, like, I'm proud of them because they put a nice little stain in there. We were here, MOP was here, MOP was here. I want something like that. MOP was here. You can't tell me MOP wasn't here. There's been a couple, you know, came. MOP was here. They were here.
Just got another idea for our New York show.
Oh yeah. Something else we gotta talk about. Yes.
All right, so this whole like Brooklyn thing. So now we're talking to the outside New York audience, the like people who, you know,
right,
don't live here, can't picture Sutter. So there's this idea about Brooklyn as a brand. Mm-hmm. And then there are these stories about Williamsburg and East Williamsburg and what that looks like and like the issues that are there.
Mm-hmm.
On this album, on the new album, do you address any of that from your point of view or from your family's point of view? I mean, what does it look like on the other side? Because people talk about gentrification and you're the other side.
Not for no particular reason. No, I didn't talk about that on this album. That wasn't the zone I was in. I didn't feel like entertaining that conversation. But the Williamsburg I know isn't that anymore.
Yeah. But why would you not want to entertain the conversation? Or just
It just wasn't what I was talking about.
Got it.
Like, this album's about me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about, even though that's a part, you know what I'm saying? But it's not. Because all that really happened, in my opinion, was some people that used to live in Manhattan got scared after the tower dropped. And they came across the bridge. That's it. Like, yo, they just bombed. I'm going to go to another borough. And we were the close one next to the bridge. That's it. Like, that's all I really, like, you know what I mean? You could dress it up how you want. And, you know, some kids that knew about credit earlier, they got their credit up, and they go there, and I'm the face, and we get the apartment with that, and then I move in six people, and that's how we pay the rent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, no, they're not better. These people aren't better than the neighborhood. Like, whatever. Anyway, that wasn't something I wanted to talk about. But I will say, like, there's a lot of bars. There's a lot of skateboarders. There's a lot of, like, it has changed. These same blocks where some of these people are walking, Yorkies, you would have got shot on
if you didn't live in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
In that respect, I'm happy it's not like that. In that regard, like, yay, people can walk down Bedford. Congrats. And the other, you know, the other side is like, yo, you my neighbor. I've been here for 25 years. Say hello to me. Mm. You just got here. That's how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, like, all the, yo, man, you know, they're pushing the, yeah, but, you know, like, it's all on, I guess that's on the, I don't occupy, you know, Williamsburg anymore. I used to hang out there. I got into it with one of the bouncers. I don't like going over there no more. Because I feel like the rooted people are changing, too, now.
Mm.
They're, you know, they're angry at everybody. They're walking around. Get out of here. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really, the energy over there don't strike, it don't work for me that much. People say it's artsy and stuff like that. Yeah, you might see some graffiti up and see some stuff like that. I don't really identify with that. I felt like art used to just be fun. And it's way more looking left and right, judging, than fun over there now.
Hmm.
It used to be fun. I used to play tag in toxic barrels. Like, there was a lumberyard that had barrels. I don't even know what that stuff was. We used to play manhunt. Like, it was fun in that area.
We used to play manhunt.
Yeah, we used to hunt, try to find each other, like, jump off the top of tractor trailers and land on plastic barrels that were filled with substances. I probably got asthma because of it.
Mm.
Like, stuff like that. And it was just fun. And that was my neighborhood, Williamsburg. And you knew, like, all the street lights came on. Go home now. Because it gets real. And, like, now it's just like, yeah, man, it's just, I don't know, it's corny. It's fake. I don't like to be around fake, and that's not, you know what I mean, whatever. And I know, like, you know, I'm not being very conscious right now, music. But you might play a play. Yeah, if I play, my fans is coming from somewhere else anyway. Just coming to that venue where it's at. So I don't care.
I mean, I think it's a feeling that's pretty widely felt in the city.
That's corny.
And I think that it's vaguely understood outside of the city, but I think that we have to say it directly.
You got to say it. Because let me tell you something. Brooklyn, to this day, you're a DJ. When you ask about, is it Brooklyn's last? When you ask about the boroughs, Brooklyn's last. Why? Because Brooklyn is it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yo, is it, if you hear from Queens, if you, you know, you all, it's even, you save Brooklyn because they're in there heavy. Their presence is felt. And it's always like, yo, them kids, we carry something, man. That competitive, that being from Brooklyn means everything to me. I'm competitive about everything because I grew up in Brooklyn. Like, me and Joe, like, yo, when I was heavy, I knew I couldn't beat him in a race. But just because he knew he could beat me in a race, I raced him. You ain't beating me. Like, you crazy? I'm the person I am because Brooklyn shaped me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, don't come to Williamsburg now and that's not going to be indicative of the Brooklyn I know. Don't come in and be like, oh, yeah, No. First of all, you couldn't have met me on Bedford without me before. So the fact that you're standing there like, we've been here for 15 minutes is crazy to me. I'm just being, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's not, no. The reason I sound like this is because it was real.
Yeah.
You know, I got beatings for going up certain blocks. Like, what you call it told me you was on, what the? Like, no, I just went because the ball, I hit the ball far and it rolled that way. You lose that ball. You don't go up that street. You know that. That's not what Williamsburg is now. And I'm happy that people can chill and stuff like that. But please, like, no one, we were talking about Brooklyn being rough. It's because it was rough.
Mm.
Williamsburg was rough. Greenpoint, I'm from Greenpoint. Greenpoint was rough. Greenpoint's still rough.
I mean, it was very productive also.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, the people I'm talking to, the people I hang out with, they didn't benefit from any of them condos.
Right.
If anything, they're figuring out how to get them out of there. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not giving up. They're not saying, yo, we're about to build up right here in this little space in between your Chinese food and your laundromat. Anybody willing to help? They're not doing that. They're just going, oh, could get a lot more rent if this wasn't a project. So, that's it. There ain't nobody benefit. You know what I'm saying? Except, you know, whatever. I feel like some of the kids, at least they're seeing something else. There was no condos around when I was there. There was nothing else. It was the projects, and then it was just like, like, you know, just houses, like residential houses and stuff. And those people, like, though we were just across the street, they acted like we weren't human. Mm-hmm. It was just like, that's the supermarket that the project people go to. We go to this one. So now it's kind of like, you know, because these people, they don't, you know, it's kind of like everybody's kind of coexisting, but no, we're not benefiting, if anything. Like, there's people coming through the project developments, taking pictures, figuring out how to co-op them.
Right.
Rather than like, yo, you know, let's see if we can get a team of guys from here to help with it. Like, they're not doing none of that stuff, so.
So if you were the mayor, that's what you'd do?
If I was the mayor, that wouldn't be the first thing I talked about. I would, like I said, I would talk to the kids. I don't know, like that whole, cause like let me just tell you how the kid that's still in the project thinks, because this is how I used to think. I used to think if you had a credit card, you were rich. Like, yo, oh shoot, he ain't pay cash. Like, this is how I'm talking about. That's how rooted it is, y'all. Like, it's way deeper than that. Like, it was just, you know, like, it's that crazy. Like. Mm-hmm. We didn't know the difference between leasing and financing. You bought that, you got good. Like, it was just like, he got a Benz. Like, it was just like, you know, like, it's far. The gap is it's more spread than everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's really, really spread. So, like, but first and foremost, as the mayor of New York, I gotta sit down with some really, really young minds and talk to them and try to guide them somewhere, like, show them something else, like trips outside of the neighborhood. Come on, y'all. We going over here. Let me show you how this is. See how that looks? Like, I got to show them other stuff, because these kids only know the same set of swings, the same sliding board, the basketball rim that's bent. It's not helping their jump shot. You know what I'm saying? That's all they know.
Sometimes I think, though, that, like, what money really gets you is, like, a way out of trouble. Like, because I don't know if they teach rich kids, like, this is what credit is early. Yeah. But if you do get in trouble, then your parents bail you out. And I wonder, yeah.
Money could be a problem, though. Money could be a problem if you don't know. If you just don't know. I got signed to Aftermath. I got a big, big, big check.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. So I didn't do all good things with the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. You know what I'm saying? That was a problem. I wish I would know some of the things I know now with that, just that, just something like that. I would have did things different.
How did you get out of that?
Out of what?
The Aftermath deal.
I called Dre and asked him to let me go off the label. Mistake, my opinion, being honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
And how'd you get out of Shady?
I'm not out of Shady. We're still over there as a group.
Oh.
Yeah, we're still there as a group.
Okay.
And I saw Dre at the Grammys, and he was like, see what hard work does? You're still here in the family.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I feel like, I feel like it may, but, nah, I feel like, It was too short-lived. Like, I didn't give it. I was so excited. I was so anxious. My window was open. And then he was like, all right, so we're going to wait for the detox and then 1M album and then you. I was like, no.
Oh, my God.
I'm not waiting. Come on. And he was a stand-up dude, because, you know, people can jam you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care if you want to wait or not. You're here. And he was just like, I don't want you to go, but I ain't going to hold you up. You know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, I think about that decision. I think about all that stuff. But I'm just talking about a raw kid off the block getting. I didn't even have a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My first check from Aftermath was when I established a bank account. Matter of fact, I didn't even have the proper identification to open the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That's when money's a problem. I was too raw. I was still in the, I was at 50. We got to teach these young kids, man. We got to talk to the really, really young kids so that when they run into a lump, they run into that lump turns it into more lumps instead of just, remember when I had a lump?
Well, I don't know if that's a blog or a book.
Or a platform.
Absolutely. Like, this conversation is definitely a platform. I'm like, 2020, Joel Ortiz, New York City. Throwing it out there. But I mean, with the music is definitely a platform. But I think what you have to say, is important. And so the music is definitely like a good way to medium to get it out there and, you know, get that stuff out there. But just, you know, in this conversation, I feel like there's more I don't want to say should, but I would like, you know, not to put it off on you like that. But I'm like, yo, you could easily write a book and it be something that will be beneficial.
Man, thank you. And, I guess that's part that contributes to my restlessness, because there's more to me, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, once you get a grasp around your purpose, it's unsettling. You want it to happen now.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Like, everybody, pay attention. I know what I'm here for. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know who I'm supposed to talk to. Everybody, now. And it just doesn't happen like that. It's all so like, yeah, there'll be more of me. There'll be more of me than music. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it matters to me. It started out as a love of music, and then it turned into a love of the culture, and now it's just a love of, like, humans. You know what I'm saying? Music taught me about life. It's so crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's an awesome conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.